Chapter 16, A Dead Man's Value. We must ensure the hospital's CCTV system feeds live into our facial recognition AI. It's already primed to recognize Tang Xiexie's face, and given that we deal with a limited locality, with probably only a couple of thousand people being captured on camera there today, we can even allow for a broader margin of recognition error without causing continuous false alarms popping up. That way, when anyone even close to resembling her comes near the hospital, we'll be alerted. I'll talk to Ying. She can take care of it, Lei said as they stood on Huang's roof terrace to discuss their next steps. Jack added, We should also avoid that she can use a badge to escape the hospital or hide in some of its corridors. Once we spot her and she tries to flee again, we should be able to just shut down the hospital's electronic badge system and lock all doors with a single command, trapping her with no means of escape. No more futile chases. Lei nodded in agreement. Good idea. I'll get in touch with the hospital first before my call with Ying. We'll also need to embed a few of our own people disguised as hospital staff. Undercover officers posing as nurses could blend in, keeping an eye on the corridors leading to Huang Jian's room. Where will we be? Right at the heart of it, Lei said, hiding in Huang Jian's room. She has to get close to him. And once she does, we'll strike. Jack scratched his head. That's a lot to organize in a short time. It's a solid plan, but we'll need to coordinate with the hospital administration to ensure everything is in place without causing panic or prematurely alerting Tang Xiexie. I guess we also need to get your undercover officers there immediately so they have at least a few minutes to familiarize themselves with the layout and not look totally out of place. Tang Xiexie will be on high alert as it is. Lei pulled out his phone. I'll handle the coordination. As Lei dialed numbers and relayed instructions, Jack went to the railing of the roof terrace to look over the city. The sun was now higher above the horizon, and the lifting fog mirrored his hopeful sentiment that the end of his assignment was near. If today goes well, we'll have Tang Xiexie in custody by the end of the day, and tomorrow, he'll be on his way back to San Diego. After that, he promised himself no more special assignments or trips. Everything's set, Lei announced, interrupting Jack's contemplation. Let's brief Mr. Huang. It'll be important that he understands his role. Afterward, we head to the hospital. On their way back to Huang's bedroom, they noticed the nurse working in the kitchen, focusing on the open fridge before her. Bottles of neatly organized medications were lined up at her feet. Lei cleared his throat gently to catch her attention, and she turned, a list in hand, marking off items with a pen. Excuse me, we're planning to head out. Could you tell us when Mr. Huang will leave for his hospital appointment? Lei asked. The nurse placed a pen behind her ear, moved the bottles on the floor to the lowest fridge compartment, and closed its door. In about an hour or so, I connected Governor Huang to his preparatory IV while you were on the roof terrace. It'll run through in about 30 minutes, and then I'll start getting him ready for transport to the hospital. Will you continue your discussion with him there? No, that won't be necessary. I was only wondering. We'll say goodbye to Mr. Huang and then we're gone. The nurse smiled appreciatively. That's very thoughtful of you. I'll finish organizing this week's medical shipment and then prepare Governor Huang for the trip. Everything should be on schedule. With a mutual nod, Lei and Jack went to the bedroom where they found him sleeping peacefully. They exchanged a brief glance, silently debating whether to disturb his rest. The urgency of the situation decided the matter quickly. He dozed off again. We need to wake him, Lei whispered. Jack agreed. Yes, he needs to know about the arrangements. It's his life on the line. Lei approached Huang's bedside and gently touched his shoulder, giving him a light shake. Governor Huang, I'm sorry for this, but we need to get moving to the hospital, he said softly. The former governor lay still, unresponsive to Lei's voice. Huang Jian? Governor Huang, it's time to wake up. Jack, something's wrong. Governor, wake up! Lei shouted as he intensified his efforts, shaking Huang more vigorously. Get the nurse! While Jack ran to the door to call for the nurse, Lei grabbed Huang's wrist, searched for a pulse, and leaned close to check for breath. Nothing. There's no pulse. Initiating CPR, he declared. He adjusted Huang's position, laying him flat on the bed, and began compressions, his hands moving rhythmically, desperately trying to beat life back into the still heart. The nurse burst into the room, quickly realized the gravity of the situation, and sprang into action.
Defibrillator, it's in the kitchen cupboard above the fridge, she directed Jack. Get it over here!
Jack sprinted into the kitchen, grabbed the device, and rushed back. He handed the defibrillator to the nurse, who took control of the chaotic scene.
Step back, she ordered.
Jack and Lei obeyed as they watched her positioning the defibrillator pads on his bare chest, one high on the left chest, the other low on the right.
You press the button when I say so,
she instructed Jack, her gaze locked on the defibrillator's screen as she adjusted the settings. Lei, standing by, watched her every move, ready to assist. The nurse glanced at him.
Be ready to continue CPR as soon as we're done here. Charging.
The nurse announced the machine whirring to life.
Everyone clear?
She warned, her eyes sweeping Huang's body to ensure no one was touching him on the bed.
Now!
Jack knelt next to the defibrillator and pressed the button. Huang Jian's body jerked slightly. They all held their breath, waiting for a sign of life. The nurse quickly checked for a pulse. Her expression was unreadable.
No response. Start CPR,
she said, stepping aside to let Lei take over. Lei's hands pressed down hard and fast. After 2 minutes, the nurse instructed Lei to stop.
Move aside, let's try another shock. Charging.
The nurse repeated the process, her voice steady.
Clear?
Once again, Jack hit the button on her command. The cycle of CPR and defibrillation repeated. With each pause, they waited for any sign of Huang's return to life. After the third round, as Lei finished his compressions, the nurse stepped back, her eyes distraught.
Should we do another shock? Jack asked.
Regaining her professional composure, the nurse shook her head.
No, he's gone,
she declared. Lei and Jack stood up, panting. They looked at each other in disbelief. The nurse quietly pulled the bedsheet over Huang's dead body and began to tidy the area. The beep of the defibrillator being turned off sounded unnaturally loud in the room.
How could this happen? We were just with him and he seemed okay. Frail, but fine,
Lei exclaimed.
He likely had a heart attack,
the nurse responded softly.
Given his age and the severity of his lung disease, it's not entirely unexpected. Conditions like his can overwhelm the heart.
Why didn't he call for help?
Jack pondered aloud.
Once a heart is weakened from a lung condition, this can happen suddenly and quietly. A sudden core pulmonale or arrhythmias could have caused it.
He was sleeping after I connected him to his booster IV, as usual. He likely did not even notice it. It's a good way to go, the nurse explained, seeking to provide some comfort with her words.
I'll contact the funeral services,
she said before leaving them alone with their thoughts. Jack removed his jacket and leaned against the wall, the cold surface barely registering against his heated skin. His mind raced in frustration. Lei, meanwhile, stood frozen, staring at Huang's outline under the covers.
Come, let's go sit down for a while, Jack suggested gently, placing a reassuring hand on Lei's shoulder.
Together, they stepped onto the roof terrace, enveloping themselves in silence. The sun's warmth did little to ease the cold reality they faced. They were digesting the bitter truth of their circumstances, a fourth life lost, and with it, the fading glimmer of hope in capturing Teng Xie through Huang's assistance. They needed to rethink their strategy from the ground up. After a while of sitting there in silent contemplation, they heard the nurse talking to the man and woman from the funeral service who had arrived to pick up Huang's corpse. After they left, the nurse came out to the roof terrace and offered Jack and Lei a glass of water.
I'll make the necessary arrangements and reach out to his family. Is there anything else I can do to assist you, Officer Zheng?
She inquired.
Thank you for your kindness, but no, there's nothing more to be done, Lei responded.
Lei then turned to his phone.
Who are you calling? Asked Jack.
We need to touch base with Agent Zhang and see if he made any progress on the missing names. If not, our next step will probably be to fly to Shanghai to talk to Zhao Juan. We're at a critical junction, Jack. We're navigating in the dark without a sighting of Tong Xie in our surveillance. She could strike anywhere, anytime. Huang was our best chance to draw her out, Lei outlined.
But why? Jack questioned. Tong Xie is oblivious to Huang's fate. She'd still be plotting to infiltrate his hospital room, believing him to be there. It's still our chance to capture her in the act.
A gleam of hope flickered across Lei's features.
You're right. We'll need a decoy, someone who can convincingly pass for Huang to adhere to his daily schedule. The doctors will need to be in on it. Let me make some calls,
Lei said, invigorated.
You do that. I'll get my jacket in the meantime, Jack said, heading towards Huang's bedroom.
He picked up his jacket from the ground and looked around the room. Everything was as when they entered it this morning, only the crumbled covers on the empty bed and the disconnected IV bag on the nightstand were silent remnants of the drama that transpired. A detail on the IV drip caught Jack's attention, prompting him to take a closer look. With a growing suspicion, he seized it, intent on seeking clarification from the nurse.
Nurse Huang, the IV bag Mr. Huang was using this morning was labeled with a blue tag. Why is this one labeled with a gray one? He asked when he entered the kitchen.
That's the weekly pre-transport booster IV. They're always distinguished by a gray label, she explained calmly.
Jack's eyes narrowed as he scrutinized the back of the IV bag more closely. This label, it's from Beijing University International Hospital. That's Tong Shesha's workplace, he exclaimed.
Who?
Nurse Huang, from where do you source Mr. Huang's medical supplies? Not from Beijing University International Hospital, I presume.
No,
she replied, perplexed.
Our supplies are provided by Feng Tai Hospital right here.
Taking the IV bag from Jack, she examined it closely, a frown forming.
This isn't one of ours, she murmured, her confusion deepening.
And this went unnoticed? Jack pressed.
It seems it was mistakenly included with our usual delivery and stored without a second glance. The packaging is quite similar, especially on the front. I must have overlooked it, she admitted.
Could something in this bag have caused Huang's heart attack?
There are substances that could. Why do you ask?
She acknowledged, puzzled by Jack's line of questioning.
Who was here to pick up Huang's body? What do you mean?
Was there anything unusual about them?
Why? No, I mean, I don't know. It was just a man and a woman from the funeral service. That's all. We didn't talk much.
The woman, was she small?
Yes.
Pretty? I suppose you could call her that. Why?
What is all this about?
Without an explanation, Jack seized the IV bag and hurried to the roof terrace where Lei was still on the phone.
Lei, it was Tong Shesha. She killed Huang.
Lei put the phone down to his side.
What are you talking about?
Jack laid out his discovery.
The nurse told me that all of Huang's medical supplies are sourced from their local hospital here in Feng Tai. This,
he held the IV bag under Lei's face,
comes from the Beijing University International Hospital, Tong Shesha's hospital. She must have known about Huang's schedule and weekly booster IV administration. She tampered with the last supply shipment. It's genius. She knew exactly the time when it would be administered, when he would die, and that it would be considered a natural death. All she had to do was sit in waiting disguised as the funeral service, ready to pick up his corpse without causing any suspicion.
Lei snatched the bag from Jack's hands. His eyes widened with realization.
She didn't need to get to him while he was alive. To get his lung, she just needed his corpse.
Jack, they picked him up only a couple of minutes ago. They cannot be far.